defenders of the Alliance and warriors of the Horde, heroes of Overwatch, Sanctuary, and the Koprulu Sector. This is Group Quest, a roundtable podcast from Dawnforge Productions. Join us as we gather a collection of strong voices from around the community. Now, here are our hosts, Gulvin and Joe.
And welcome back to Group Quest, everybody. Today, we talk about a global goodness this time. We dive into a little bit of Diablo and some WoW TBCCCC Classic, or however you call it.
Something like that.
I am Gulvin, and that is Joe. Joe, what's on the docket for GQ2 today?
Well, E3 is in progress right now, so we're going to talk about day one. And talking about E3, something happened at EA Games. And just a couple of nerd things. Sports nerd, baseball. Gulvin, what's going on with the baseball? Damn pitchers. And anything for those comic geeks, He-Man is making a return.
Ooh. Yes, I did see that.
I saw that. I'm like, yeah, that's going into GQ2. but still, there's a lot of good stuff going on.
Outside of a Blizzard stuff too, which is interesting. At least right now, Blizzard's been pretty quiet.
Pretty much.
But what have you been doing this week though, Joe? What's your week been like?
Not much. It's the repetition is the same right now. It is Hearthstone, it is Far Cry 5, and it's Cyberpunk 2077, which I thought I was going to get into today, but I kind of ran out of time. So I know it's just whatever. Like, schedule is schedule, you know. Mm-hmm. However it goes. So how has your schedule been, sir? What have you been doing this week?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, work is always busy. It just is that way. Yes. I mean, it's everything's opening back up around here. It has been for the last month. And so we're always slammed with, like, you know, last 2 hours of the day. Hey, I need to send this out today. So we have to drop everything, you know. So but then it makes the days go by quick. I mean, it used to be like Monday was always a blur. Now it seems like Monday through Wednesday. And like Thursday are kind of the reprieve days, and then Friday you're like, okay, it's the weekend. But you know, that's just how it is, how the nature of the beast. In game though, I did do a little bit of leveling in WoW TBCC, so the Burning Crusade Classic. Yep. And I'm level 59 and I think a quarter now. Again, just doing. I'm not in the Draenor yet. I am still in leveling up. I just got to Silphus. I was going to try to get the Raptor mount. I think I need to look into that. Excuse me. I think I need to do I think there's a quest line leading up to Ungoro Crater that I need to do. So, because it's a free mount. So I was going to get the Raptor because I did get that once.
Right.
The Primal Raptor. There's a free, Ungoro Crater, if you do, there's a quest line with one of the druids that you get there going into Silphus, and you can get a free Raptor mount, Horde side. And so just like one of the cool things I stumbled upon without researching way back when. And so I just know it's there. But then outside of that, played a little bit of Overwatch like usual. But really, really been, yeah, WoW Classic. And, you know, just takes a long time to do things. It sucks having a slow mount. A 60, a 40, I think it's a 40% mount. It's just, it just sucks being slow, but I mean, that's how it is. So, but it's, you know, it's been fun playing a different kind of class. I've never really played Druid outside of doing like some testing. I do have one that's leveled up, but I just did it for like the friends and the recruiter friend to get a bonus mm-hmm. levels and whatnot. So, but it is fun. And, yeah, just kind of playing a little bit there, here and there.
Good. Good.
But, the first news that we need to jump right into, which is, It seems like it's a very mundane story from that came out the other day. There's a new globalbattle.net. And so what that means is that all your Battle.net friends and everything are now connected. Instead of having to switch regions, you can now do it globally. You know, this is a very simple, mundane thing. However, it does make you think that maybe we will see a combined World of Warcraft. What does that mean? That means that we could see, because now they're going global with Battle.net, it could be that there's no more, going to be no more, potentially, no more America and European servers. It'll just be, you know, it'll just be servers. And I know there's a lot of technology about, you know, sharding, or might like pick the local regional one. But it could be that if you wanted to, you could play from Europe on a North American server, or vice versa. Do you see this as like the first step towards that, Joe? Or am I just kind of reading between the lines?
I do think that that's going to happen. But I think, as I'm thinking more into this, you're going to see this more into like a game like, or into games like Hearthstone. Even though there's going to be like translation issues. Okay. And that's one of the things you have to think about when you're doing a cross server integration. So, well, this is a very good move by Blizzard. Okay. And I do love it because we do have friends that are overseas.
Mm-hmm.
We do have, you know, friends, and some people have family that are located in different parts of the world. You know, United States military, that's what they do. And they can't play on, you know, U.S. servers or North America servers because they are located in Japan or in Europe or in the Middle East. Okay. So to see a move like this on that standpoint is really, really good to see. Now, I think moving forward for this type of progression, yes, I do think this is going to happen, but it's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you have to connect all the servers. And now what you need is some translation. Okay. Translation software. So that way, if I'm typing in something for somebody in, say, Japan, okay, I will be able to read that text. Or they will be able to read that text. And somebody from Japan is replying back, I will be able to read that text. So that translation has to be there, and it has to be fluid. Okay. So hopefully we can progress to that point. I don't think we're at that point yet, as far as what a language concern or consideration is.
Yeah.
But to see friends from one region on their own servers, you know, on your battle.net is really a good thing. And that will be coming in, you know, different games. I mean, another thing you have to think about too is if we're going to go cross platform in certain games, something like this also would have to happen.
Yeah, because a lot of it is the cross play capabilities. And so the first players that are able to do this is Overwatch. And, you know, we're talking about Overwatch 2 coming out, you know, soon, TM. And that's the one where they're probably going to limit. I mean, I actually don't know if there is an America and European server on this. And this is one of the ways that they will do it, that it'll just be localized.
That's on your Battle.net. And by looking at that, you still have that as far as Overwatch and Hearthstone go.
Yeah. So the one thing is that basically with a console and Battle.net, like you said, will be connected. Overwatch is the first game to take charge of this, to where you basically Battle.net, you could play a console, you could play on PC, you can go back and forth. It's not going to really affect anything. And then you can then chat while you're in your console, or you can chat while you're in your PC to a console player, etc., and back and forth. The one thing though is that the biggest game that they have that relies on a lot, like you know, you said, is like having overseas people and not have to select like an America account. Like, what if they meet up with some buddies, you know, in Europe and they want to play both? Like, maybe they want to have a character here, a character there, or mm-hmm. have it on the, you know, eventually it could be like, you know, where the servers are more of like zones or something. I'm kind of like trying to forward think maybe a little too much, but I could definitely see, because there's been a lot of reports, a lot of people saying, news articles that I've seen, YouTube videos from prominent WoW people saying that it's like half the user base and from the start of Shadowlands is still playing. Like half the people are still subscribed. Now, could this be paid subscriptions? Probably. And that could be, maybe they're using gold. You know, I'm not sure how they're calculating it, but that's what the rumors are out there. And that's, I see a lot of people commenting on that. And I mean, I haven't looked at any numbers myself, so I'm just relying on what I see other content creators putting out there. And so if that's the case, you know, they're going to have the ability to be able to globally link up World of Warcraft. So it's not just America. It's not just Europe. And, you know, this is a good first step. And then, like you said, connecting, because, you know, it's Blizzard, but it's really Battle.net is Activision Battle.net kind of now. I mean, see all the Call of Duty stuff in there. You see all the games that are across the board are in there. Even old school Blizzard games, you know, it's just that they're not limiting it to just Blizzard or, you know, to Warcraft 3, for instance. But yeah, I mean, it's good to do. And I'm glad at least they're thinking forward and they're thinking of like, you know, what's the next step. And it's a very mundane when you think about it, as far as it is, it's just an update to chat. You'll see more people now. So if you have like a lot of friends in Europe, for instance, you'll be able to connect with them through this Battle.net and then play some Overwatch with them, no problem. So it's good. I mean, a thumbs up from me.
Indeed.
On that. Another interesting thing that came out. And this was in Diablo 3 Season 24, which is the upcoming season for Diablo 3. They're adding Ethereals back to the game. And so what are Ethereals? Well, Ethereals were from Diablo 2. And they're basically very low durability items, but really powerful, and they couldn't be like easily repairable. You know, it was very difficult to repair them, but they're so powerful. So they're like the top tier weapons. Either they had stats or they had gem sockets. So they're coming back to Diablo 3 Season 24. They still have the lower durability, meaning like you can't go and like go everywhere and then come back every like week or so to repair them. You have to constantly repair them. You can still repair them. So they, instead of bringing back the lower durability of it, they're actually only limiting it to seasonal play. So that means in this season, they're going to have a certain set amount of weapons available or drops, and those only can be used within that season. So kind of like a, one of the special events for WoW, where it has the, you know, you can only use this during this event, like the haunted masks or the haunted scepters, or some of the mounts, or like the broomstick, for instance. You can only use it during Hallows Eve festivities. So they're kind of bringing back something, but making it to where it's only for that period of time. So it kind of keeps it like say if you get the best ethereal weapon and you have it, you just can't have it forever. It can end up going away at the end of the season. Any thoughts, Joe, on this type of change that they're adding in?
What is coming? Diablo 2 Remastered.
Yes.
So to have something like this would actually, and I think what they're trying to do is energize that player base to start thinking about Diablo 2. And not just think about the current season of Diablo 3. So a part of me says that this is a sales point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that way people go in and buy Diablo 2, or maybe it's a reminder that, hey, Diablo 2 is coming.
Yep.
Okay. And I think a part of it too is, if you're only going to have it by seasons, then taking the durability and kind of shifting it to the season, I think is fine, quite personally. So once again, to me, this is a good idea. you know, we'll have to check the check the responses for whether it was executed well or was executed poorly.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And you cannot dual wield weapons too. So like if you get one of the weapon drops, you get two of them, you can't dual wield them. That's one of the caveats of it as well.
That might be an issue of like power or being overpowered or fairness or something like that. So, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, people when we do pick up weapons, it's not usually like all legendary. It's not usually all rare. Okay. So it's usually a mix of, you know, what's the strongest weapon. Strong weapon should be in your strong hand, and your weaker weapon should be in your weak hand. That's typically the rule. So, or the unwritten rule as what it is. But still, I like it. It doesn't mean it's going to turn out right, but I do like it. So, I still give it a thumbs up for now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I completely forgot actually about the classic, the Diablo 2 classic coming out, and this definitely is, because those will be pretty prominent in there, and so it makes sense to kind of like, hey, get a little carrot to people. I mean, it is kind of a lull right now. Again, it's, you know, we're getting into, you know, middle of June at this rate right now, and so we have to, you know, see when is, I mean, now people are already starting to clamor for 9.1. It's not announced yet, so
right.
I mean, I'm thinking now, I mean, there was leaks that was coming out in the beginning of July, but I think they would have started, you know, hammering the token right now if it was coming out soon. So I think they're going to wait a couple more weeks. We'll probably hear something the first week of July of when it's coming out. I'm staging my guns for August on that front for the 9.1 patch, or even in September. I think they're going to try to push it back. Again, we're hitting the road of the pandemic problems.
Right.
You know, we keep echoing it, but this is what happens. I mean, you get behind and, you know, yeah, you can push things through quickly, but then if you have these long-term plans, it's going to take longer. But yeah, so we'll have to wait and see there, but glad to see the Blizzard is doing something. But there is something that you can do though, Joe.
What can I do?
You can sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/thegroupquest. Yes, we have a Patreon where everything that goes into the Patreon goes back to the show, either by, you know, special effects, equipment, or anything else you can think of to help help the show out. You also get, by joining our Patreon, you get access to voice questions. You can ask us like a Q&A with voice, come onto the show as a special guest, promote your own stuff in our Discord, digital posts, shout outs, and story time with myself, Golvin, or Joe, helping you out with any in-game gold making if you just want to become a Mr. Burns of your local server.
Something like that.
Yeah. But a lot of behind the scenes content as well, if you are interested in how podcasts are made. Just a lot of stuff that we offer by joining our Patreon. Again, that's patreon.com/thegroupquest. Join today.
Yes.
And
speaking of spending money.
Yes. So you're lucky that you don't have to spend money when it comes to, first we'll do the spending money, then they'll jump back with, then you don't have to spend money. So
yes.
one of the things that has just came out was that Blizzard released a new, with the Burning Crusade Classic release, they have announced a little vault bundle of Burning Crusade items in the vault. The vault has 47, I'm looking at now, 47 items, a lot of them actually pretty cool Burning Crusade type. They have the Illidan statue, 24 inch, so 2 feet tall Illidan statue. They have some concept art that you can purchase. They have some puzzles. The t-shirts are really good. Unfortunately, you know, they already sold out of the Jinx. Really cool. The You're Not Prepared t-shirt. I definitely would wear that one. And the Dark Portal. So they have some really good t-shirts. Blizzard always has like some of the best t-shirts on there. Cool slides. If you like slide sandals, you could buy some Burning Crusade Classic ones. Pretty much a bunch of stuff in there, along with a lot of other World of Warcraft 30th Anniversary Edition items. So go ahead and take a look there. And then also you get 25% off orders over 25 with code Shadow right now. That actually is going to be ending shortly. So by the time you get finished listening to this episode, it'll probably be almost over. But keep your eyes peeled. They always seem to have a 15 to 35% coupon running at any moment. So just keep an idea, keep ready there. But yeah, it's pretty good. A lot of good, cool stuff that they have there. Anything that made your fancy, Joe, on the Blizzard store?
Oh, I would buy like the 30th anniversary stuff myself.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that may, you know, I typically like art, like the Burning Crusade framed 22x32 with the dragon in the foreground. But like the Burning Crusade art is kind of like typically to me, because I've never been a fan of Burning Crusade. Okay, it was just something to get through to Wrath of the Lich King. But the clothes, the 30th anniversary sweatshirts, polos, just that stuff just looks sharp. It looks real sharp. Even the World of Warcraft classic and some of the other stuff, Shadowlands, what they got up there too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also it's like really, really cheap as well. They have a lot of reduced items as well as items that are just inexpensive in general, like, you know, pretty good quality. One of the good things too is they have a nice little stretch canvas. But the main one is going to be, the World of Warcraft. They have like some polos, they have some zip up sweaters,
yep,
some tech stuff,
Illidan Returns T-shirt,
yeah, exactly. Right, and they're decently priced for what they are too. If you go to like if you are a fan of Blizzard and fan of World of Warcraft, you can go and grab those.
Mm-hmm.
But the
anything that is pro game or college, they're all going to be on that same base price line as far as what clothes are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the way that you picture the rest of it. Like everything else is going to be cheaper than that. Okay, so that is a price that you have to expect when you purchase an item like this.
No, definitely.
So
yeah, so a lot of good stuff.
It's real
there.
Good.
Yeah, a lot of cool items that they're offering right now. So go ahead and take a look there if you are interested in anything above and beyond on the Blizzard store. So go ahead and take a look. And then the one other thing that was released besides that, that was actually an email that I got. So I didn't even know about it. I got the email for the vault. Once you buy one thing, they're just like, we're just going to keep sending you emails.
Yeah, that's Fanatics for you.
Yeah. The one thing that they did release, which actually kind of came under the radar, was that the Overwatch 2 team. Now, really, the Overwatch 2s, we really haven't heard too much from Overwatch recently. They kind of a little bit quiet. I mean, talked about before, but
yeah,
they did come out with some behind the scenes on the engineering team. And really what this is not just engineering, but it's related to the art and how the environment is in Overwatch 2 that they're going to be planning compared to Overwatch 1. And some of the design stuff that they can do for future, making it like a futuristic style, a game in Overwatch 2. One of the things that came to me was that, you know, night and day, sandstorms, raining, basically seasonal play of the environment, which I think is going to be really cool because, like, if you're at nighttime, it's going to be night. If you're daytime, it's day. I think it almost like an MMO in a way, style, or it's just going to be randomized. I guess it'll depend on how it does in the when you're playing it. But
yeah,
a lot of cool stuff too. Like they can with this technology though. It does look like you could see eventually randomized maps, which would be pretty cool for doing like quick play or doing some of these other mini games, is that it's never the same map. So it's very hard to, like, you know, have a sniping spot, for instance. But what did you think, Joe, of the kind of behind the screen or behind the veil of the for Blizzard and Overwatch 2?
It's really, really cool to see even like the potential movements, which is one I'm looking at right now. Like, okay, so we know that players, they can make an overarching turn left, or they can make a sharp turn left. Okay, but they do give like the basic lines of movement and how that really goes up against the environment. And I mean, the ideas that they came through is like really, really good looking.
Mm-hmm. It definitely looks a lot better than Overwatch. As someone who plays a lot of Overwatch, Overwatch 2 looks like almost like a prototype game, and then like the final finished piece. That's the difference in the mm-hmm. how the visuals of it. It's way nicer in Overwatch 2 from what I've seen.
It's more integral, even though they're using the same engine,
mm-hmm.
which to me is really astonishing. Okay, because that's because you're using the same engine. You're not using a different engine, like what we're going to get into in GQ2 today.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're using the same game engine and you're adding in all this art and you're adding in, you know, all this detail, it's wow. And anybody that plays Overwatch, when you purchase Overwatch 2, and you will get Overwatch 2, you will see all of this, the intricacies of all this artwork, and it's going to blow your mind, people.
Well, yeah, and not just that. It's like a lot of it, too, is, you know, for an esports title, a lot of times they just pull back the art, right, because they don't want to interfere with, like, FPS play. Well, with this type of technology, right, they can kind of bundle things together and make the object size or the disk size so low that when you download them, it's not that much data coming through. So a lot of it also has to do with data refinement. And again, this is getting to more like a technical behind the scenes. I mean, this is a full technical engineer article, but a lot of it just means higher quality lighting. You get more different types of lighting too, daytime, nighttime, dusk, et cetera. And also, but within all that extra stuff and better quality, it's actually less information that you get, meaning that you're gonna be able to load it on a more cheaper computer, like a computer that doesn't have like the top of the line stuff. So it kind of like lets you have the best experience possible without, you know, having as much either data. Also, you know, if you're data capped or if you can't download so much because of data speeds, you don't have to worry about it. A lot of stuff like that to make it more nice. And it's also, though, does go into consoles because, as we know, Overwatch 2 consoles are going to be pretty big as well when it gets released. And so that's one of the big things behind it, too. This is going to really help out the new age consoles or the modern consoles.
Yes.
And
especially when Overwatch goes crossplay too.
Well, I mean it is crossplay now, but when Overwatch 2 comes out crossplay, you mean?
Yeah. When that comes out, it's all going to go crossplay. Yep. And it's just going to be bonkers.
Yeah, you don't want to have someone know like, hey, I get a 2 FPS advantage of being on a PC. I mean, obviously the hardware is going to dictate that, so you will have that 2%.
Right.
If you have like, you know, a 3090 or something, or a 3080. TI, or, you know, and then you're like sitting there going, okay, yeah, I have the best, you're going to get better FPS. It's just how it is. But for someone who has maybe comparable, like, you know, a normal computer, $800 computer, which is the normal price for most people, and a, you know, now $500 console, those two people should be roughly the same speeds when they play against each other. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see how everything plays out with that. But we will be right back after this word about some books.
Arrgh, laddie. What you be doing over there? You be not be digging up treasure, are ya?
Me captain. We be finding stuff for our phones.
What you be talking about your phones? What you be thinking? What you be looking at?
We be listening to Audible, captain.
On your phone? What you be talking on your phone for? What you be saying?
No, we'd be listening to different audiobooks upon Audible.
Well, how did you get to these audiobooks, laddie? What'd you be looking? What'd you be seeing? What'd you be hearing?
Captain, just go to bit.ly/GQReads2020. You'll be hearing some audiobooks to yourself. There might be some pirate ones up there you might get into.
Oh, laddie. I'd be thinking about that. bit.ly/GQReads2020. All right. This might be a crappy promo, but I'll try it anyway.
And we're back. And, our army matey, right, Joe?
Yeah, something like that.
Yes, scurvy me timbers.
Scurvy me timbers.
But yeah, go and get that free audiobook. Again, I'm a very proponent of audiobooks. If you have a commute, if you're going to go on a vacation, I mean, like a lot of people are doing vacations right now. I mean, everything's opening up, so you can. If you're going on a plane ride, get an audiobook. It'll and then just sit back, close your eyes, and listen, and act like you're in the fantasy world. The way it came.
And after you get. And after you get that free audiobook, keep subscribed to them.
Yes.
That way you get more credits because we know that the July 4th weekend's coming and you're going to be wanting to listen to something, you know, that's really, really good. So
get
that Audible link.
Yeah. And then the one thing, too, is I recommend The Way of Kings, which is the Stormlight Archive series. There's four books now. So with that, if you depending, I think if which one tier you get, you might be able to listen to all catch up on all this month or into August. Heavily recommend it. It's a really good series to start out with if you like fantasy type shows.
Sylvanas is coming.
Yeah, well, I mean that you can get with your second
subscription. I'm just saying.
Definitely get that one. Will be a good one on audiobook.
Oh boy. Anyway, what's next?
Well, now we actually have, because Burning Crusade Classic came out, there is a lot of news related to some updates that they've done there. The first main one, which is no surprise, they're offering free character transfer service from Feralina, Mankirk, and Whitemane to other realms. Some of it are Horde only because they are either PvP, I believe those are PvP realms, but it's just a lot of people condensed on a server. There were some queues. I haven't heard too much of like too many queues, but there were some. And so what they're doing is they're saying, hey, it's just, you know, you just have to go ahead and, you know, transfer over if you're single player, it makes the most sense. And so take a look at the list there. If you qualify and you want to get off that server, they're offering a lot of alternatives. And so just, you know, something that happens with a game that's popular at the start. Any thoughts, Joe, on the free character transfer?
That, you know, that's going to happen if things are unbalanced, you know, and really they really wanting to improve balance if they're PvP servers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, that way, you know, queue times are, you know, practically even. Okay. So, I mean, it's not going to be fair to everybody. Okay. So, and I think that's where a lot of these, a lot of this feedback that if you scroll down on the post, a lot of people are not happy with this because, you know, their feeling is more fairness. Okay. But people need to understand is that what's fair or what really is fair may not be what's fair to you. Okay.
Yes.
Blizzard has to keep an eye on the overall, the big picture. They can't just focus on one person or one character. Okay. So that's what Blizzard's doing right now.
Yeah.
They're looking at the big picture right now, and they're saying that, okay, we need to make a move. Maybe move players to over here or over here, you know, see if they do it. If they want to stay, that's fine. You know, that's why, you know, it's free. So if you want to move, pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you want to just cry about it. Blizzard has the right to ignore, you know, what you say. Okay, maybe their forums but they still, they could still just read it and just like, whatever.
No, yeah, definitely. And the one thing too is like, I completely forgot about that. Yeah, a lot of it has to do with the Horde only is because of the imbalance. You know, it might be a heavily Alliance server. I completely forgot about why it was the Horde only. Meaning not just for queue times to get into like the server, but also queue times for PvP. I mean, if it's a PvP server, you want to have, you know, there's no cross realm right now. So when you go in, I believe that's the next expansion they introduced that. But I don't believe there's cross realm PvP. No, there isn't. You have to zone in right now. So
Cross-realm didn't happen until after
I think it was Wrath
of the Lich King.
Are you sure it wasn't? I thought it was Wrath of the Lich King it started.
No.
It would have been it Cataclysm.
Was later than that.
So it must have been Cataclysm they started that. Where's Cross-realm PvP?
It was either Cataclysm or just after Cataclysm.
It would be Miss. So yeah, one of the two.
It's one of the two.
Yeah, one of the two. We'll have it there. But yeah, I mean, the one thing is that when you're thinking about this type of stuff, you know, they're trying to get the servers balanced without, you know, being too terrible of an experience. So you know, hopefully, you know, maybe some servers are as you think is too crowded or too lopsided. Uh-huh. It just could be, you know, some people don't want to PvP on those servers, just how it is. But glad they're trying to make a change of some way. One of the other changes that they have been doing is some hot fixes to some bugs that were in the game. One of the ones that I do remember happening back in the day was that Nightbane can sometimes exit during combat during the raid encounter, causing it to reset. And this is a bug that was prevalent in Burning Crusade, and so there's a joke that was going around that I saw that says, it's funny that you have to go back, you know, however many years later to fix the same bug you fixed during the original Burning Crusade because they didn't patch it into this version. Because remember, they started from like a stable version of the game and then made it better. They didn't just like, you know, go back and like take away the new stuff. They're starting from like a stable Burning Crusade that they have. And then converting it over. So any thoughts there, Joe, on that?
No, because once again, that's something I just blitzed right through. So, you know, when I was, you know, leveling up originally, when I was back, Wrath of the Lich King was a level cap. So I didn't play through like any of that. Well, I did obviously play through it, but I didn't do any of the raids until like after. Well, I probably went through that raid or went through some of the raids there at Mists, or Mists of Pandaria. So, this is part of what Classic is. You know, you want the Classic game. You got to have all the problems that went with it. Okay. So, and that obviously was one of them.
And another one is, again, another Karazhan bug that was in the game where the chess event does not give loot when you complete it. I've had this happen to me too, as well, back in the day. Luckily though, at the time, I believe I can't recall. I think, when this happened, if I remember correctly, again, it was a guild run, so I didn't handle it. But I think the GM like rolled off some random loot and let the person divvy it up. I can't remember if that was the case or not, or if they just kept all the loot. But yeah, that was one of the big thing. Another thing too is that they have had it in here is sometimes the WoW Classic items would drop with unusual stats or stats that did not exist on those games when they originally played them. Again, another one of those things where, you know, they're diving into the database and someone didn't update, like removing avoidance. You know, like, it didn't exist back then. Or it's the wrong stats. But a lot of that stuff that, you know, just kind of these small bugs that are in the game that they have to go back and fix later. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, but glad that they're doing some updates there. Joe, that they did is that, and this has to relate to live as well, for the auction house updates. They did do an update where they hot fixed it, where it implemented a settings change intended to lower the time it takes to search the auction house. And then players who list, bid, buy out, or cancel a very large number of auctions may now incur a delay between consecutive actions. This is, again, something we talked about in retail, where they're now limiting the queries for the auction house.
Right.
So what do you think the thoughts on this change that they made?
Essentially, it will do nothing. Okay, the only thing that is making the change here is the amount that you're putting in. That's it. It's not going to change. Well, it's going to lower the overall price. Let's say you wanted to put in you want to put a weapon in at let's say 2,000 gold. Okay. Now weapons don't stack, so that's a bad idea. Let's say you want to put in let's say some ore, and you wanted to put in a stack of.
Oh, this isn't changing the cost. It's just that there's a time delay between the actions.
Okay.
So not the cost. I don't believe the cost is it. Now again, I've only bought a few things from the auction house right now in Classic, so I'm not sure if they've changed anything there, but what they did is they implemented some settings changes to lower the time for it. So like it's not lagging or it's loading correctly. Do you think that's going to help? Is that more for people trying to cancel and undercut?
Well, it can help cancel undercut for the most part. But for those that had lag issues, it would also help with their posting time. Okay, so my thoughts are going faster than my mouth is. if you have an add-on, okay, and the add-on scans as it posts, okay, those posts would go as fast as those posts would go quicker as the scan happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the thought process there. So you would move along with your auctions faster. Now, does that affect cost in any way? No. That does not affect cost. The cancel scans can affect costs, which is possible because it depends on the timing of when you cancel, okay, and the time that you post or repost. Okay, so
do you think this is a combat like the level one, like the one item spammers? Is that why they would put this in? Or the one, like one cloth or one food item or something?
No, not necessarily. What the problem there was the amount of items that a person put in that would jam up the auction house. Okay. And I've seen that happen. Somebody put in, I think like amount of cloth at the time, and they just ran ones all the way across. Okay. All up and down the board. So, what they did was they said you can only post a certain amount. Okay, or you can only post a max amount. So once Blizzard set that line, then the auction house freed up. Okay. So, and cloth is like, cloth wasn't the problem itself. It was more of a person taking advantage of the auction house. So this would not have an effect on that. Blizzard already fixed that. What this does is it just improves your gameplay. You move in and out of the auction house a little bit quicker, so that way you can go out to the world and do whatever the heck you want. You want to go mining, you want to go leveling, you want to go dungeoning. You know, you do whatever you want. Okay, this is just, this change right here is just meant to get you in and out of the house quicker. That's it.
Okay. The one thing too is that they're paying close attention to these auction houses. On the larger servers, they're paying more attention than the smaller ones, but they will be keeping a closer eye just to make sure that everything is going good there, and that there's no shenanigans happening in the near future.
They don't need to take a look at, you know, the higher realm or the higher population realms. They need to take a look at both realms, because it's not the amount of people, it is the individual. Okay, is the individual that can create the problem, not the amount of people that can create the problem.
Yes. I had a train of thought and I just went blank for a second.
What I'm saying is, if you have a bad seed in your garden, the garden's going to go flat. Okay? Because of that one bad seed. And it's the same thing in the auction house. It doesn't take like a full array of people to make something go bad. You already have stuff in place, you know, to basically circumvent any potential problems. Okay. It is that one person, that single individual, that can really disrupt the service. Okay. So I'm not going to get after Blizzard by saying you're only gaining after, you know, the big populations, okay, of a realm. What I'm saying is, you don't just concentrate on the big populations. You have to look at the small populations too.
No, yeah, and I agree, and I think that's one of the things that we will have to see how it plays out. The one thing that they're also testing, again, this is a lot of testing going on, is I believe they are starting to test in retail raids. We saw it last week. They were doing that. But then the one thing, too, that is a big, huge push is a Torghast. And so this week they had the Torghast Empowered Bar was brought up again for another feedback. Again, this is the one where they have the Empowered of Swiftness, Preservance, Bravery, Hopes. It's the Powered of Empowered Effects that are happening there. And they're essentially the scaling of the Torghast experience. And some feedback from players on there. One was saying that the difficulty is, you know, they're trying to figure out what layers is where the difficulty lies. And so they're just kind of see what kind of scale they can do to get that up to the correct difficulty, because remember in 9.1, the Torghast is becoming a lot different. You know, for this, it's this going to the speed run, and then also more randomization to make it a little more fresh each time. Any thoughts, right, Joe, on this? That they're, do you think it's, you know, with them testing empowerment and the empowered bar and everything, and gonna help out getting it closer? What were your thoughts to general on Torghast?
I think essentially they're upping the difficulty in accordance to the raid tier. Okay, and I'm not saying the overall difficulty. It's you have the entry to Torghast, level 1, level 2, level 3. Okay, now we're starting to get into, you know, the 4 and the 5 and maybe the 6 of Torghast, where things increase in difficulty, where there's a little bit less of a speed run. Okay. So, and I said this at the very beginning of this expansion. Be patient. If you're going to say that it's too easy, it will ramp up in difficulty. Give them time. And now, in what I'm reading here, it is ramping up in difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tower. This is an expanding tower.
It's supposed to be an infinite expanding tower, if I recall, right?
Yes.
It's supposed to be forever?
Yes. And it is to what they say. You know, how far can you go? Okay. You still have to have outs, and there are outs of the tower, ways to get out. So I think the way that they built the tower is absolutely fine. You know, there should be a top floor to, you know, where you can, or where you have to leave at. And I think, especially in accordance to storyline while leveling up, that is a major, major thing. Okay.
Well, and also, and the one thing too is that it's not a permanent empowered bar. So right now, if it's impermanent, if you get it, like it keeps going up, whenever you get it higher, you just keep it. But in the 9.1, it's changing to where it's like an activated empowerment bar.
And really, with the way that I run it, I wouldn't see a damn difference. Okay, because I go in, I go out. I run one, I go out. Okay. I don't run one, then run another, then run another, then run. No, I don't do that. So some people do that, and to them, they would notice a difference. Okay. I will not notice that difference because I don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's really meant to be just to help out the players and make it fun, make it a little different. It's a good change that they're still testing it and seeing what the best feedback is, you know, like this one was more related to the difficulty, you know, future ones, maybe they'll scale back the bonuses that you get from being empowered. It's a good little slider that they're trying to tweak around right now, but, you know, they are doing more 9.1 testing, and this is one of the bigger ones that did come out recently.
And really, I would like to see it just go to skill. Okay, and not about item level.
Mm-hmm.
If you get what I'm saying, how good are you at damage or at healing or at tank ability, and not can you blow through it? Okay, that's what I want to see. Like, if I can blow through it, and my DPS is good, I'm fine. Okay. If I can't blow through it, you know, because my DPS is not fine, then I have to find out where my adjustments need to be. And I think we could use Torghast. And I would like to use Torghast in that way, not just sitting there at a dummy just firing away at it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it makes it more interesting. It makes it more fun. It just has a better challenge in that way.
Right.
It's, you know, the one thing about Torghast is it's the single player end game. That's what they pitched it since the beginning. And so hopefully they can keep it going, and also just to challenge people. I'm curious if it's going to end up being summer games done quick, or awesome games done quick type of a speed run to get like a world record. I'm sure it probably already is something in there related to that for timing. I haven't looked into it, but that's what I was thinking of. Glad though that they are making these changes, and we will have to see how 9.1 rolls out. And when it does roll out, you know, hopefully sooner than later, but we will see. Because in 9.1, as we all know, there is flying has come back to the game. Which is always great, and in 9.1, so it's going to be the first major patch it's going into play. But they have had to clarify one item of it for flying, and that is they just recently updated that the Memories of Sunless Skies, which is the book that you get from completing your campaign, will now grant the people who have expert flying can also now fly in Mastion, Maldraxxus, Ardenweald, and Revendreth. Expert writing skills is the top tier writing skill. I believe master might be above it, but it's basically one of the higher up ones. Basically saying, like, if you just don't have any writing skill, you're not just going to be able to fly. Or if you have the very basic tier, they want to, you know, saying, hey, if you have to purchase these things still. That they did some clarification, but it's good to see that they didn't just like leave it vague and people be upset. But it just also just another one of those things to say, hey, you know, flying is coming. And then it is also going to be purchasable for your alts as well once one player has it, which is great. That's what I'm waiting for myself. But you have to get to the max level of your Covenant, finish your Covenant campaign in 9.1, and then also get the renown level 44, I believe.
45.
It's 45. Okay, level 45. Yes. Oh, that's right. And second week of Change of Domination is when you'll be able to unlock the quest that gives you access to it as well. So it's going to be 2 weeks by when you level up. But yeah, it's going to be great. Can't wait for the flying to come down the pipe. Any thoughts, Joe, on this change? Well, it's not really a change. It's more of a clarification, I guess.
It's a clarification because they were just too vague. The last time we talked about it, and you know, a lot of people at this point in time were already at what they're suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give any clarification as to, you know, where you will need to be when the time comes. Here they're saying, get to Renown 45, get that quest, and then you get the book, and then you are gone into the wind. A flying you will go. At which right now that's where my hunter is right now. At 40. All the Covenant quests are done.
Waiting for flying.
Just I'm waiting for 9.1. 9.1 hits. Back on the Covenant quests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find out what goes on more into that storyline. And get flying. I haven't had flying in an expansion for a while. To be honest, since Mr. Pandaria, get flying. And you better damn well believe I'm going to get flying this time. That's the way that looks right now.
No, yeah, definitely.
We'll see when we get there.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the way it looks right now.
Yeah, it's one of those things to where, you know, I wish they would release flying from the start, but then I understand because then I would skip half the visuals on the ground. This is a great expansion so far. But it's just, of course, we're in the drought stage, so it sucks. But hopefully, it'll be rectified here shortly. And yeah, I cannot wait either. I think it's 9.1 can't get here fast enough.
It's coming.
And then the last item that we have on the docket is actually a nice little fun World of Warcraft 3D animation short, really well done by Pivotal, who has done some previous shorts in the past. Really cool, it's kind of like a 1v1 PvP battle, but realistic though. You know, there's blood drawn, which you never see in the game. Pretty graphic, but then some cool little like bleed through stories. What are your thoughts on the little animation short?
I think that with the way that some games are now, especially when you're looking at games like Mortal Kombat, for instance, I wouldn't doubt that Far Cry will eventually go that route, and some of these other Call of Duty, Rainbow Siege, will go in the way of, you know, showing some graphics and getting away with it. Really, that does go down to the PG 13. You know, what can you get away with?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I would like to see a little bit more gore, personally, within within World of Warcraft. That's just me personally. Okay, but the video itself, yes, I would agree, it looked really good. Paladin versus Rogue, and Rogue Poison did win the battle. But what I would like to see, if you're going to do a video like this, give me two alternate endings. One where the other side wins, and one which I think could be even more interesting, where nobody wins.
No, yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's all that I want. Okay. I don't care. I don't care who wins or who loses. Okay. So long as the battle's good. And this was a really good fight. Okay. I just want to see, you know, different options to endings, and hopefully this person has that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, I'm pretty curious on seeing. It seems like there is like a little bit of a cliffhanger there at the end. So we'll have to see what happens next on that front, and what kind of the next video coming out will be. But it's always good to see some fan-made animations, and it's done really well too. So hats off to the creator. Something nice, little change of pace, at least, that we have been seeing, in the Blizzard scene. With that, Joe, is there any other things that you have on your plate? Or I think we pretty much ironed out everything today.
Spirit healers are needed.
Yeah. Can I get a res, please?
Yes, please. I think that's OP. What that,
I mean, of course, the one class had a win too. I think I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but it's a typical beast PvP exchange.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, where can people find you on the internet, Joe?
I am at Joe Brums on Twitter, twitch.tv/JoeSpace, and twitch.tv/stackup.org. On Sunday mornings, Golden, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Golden Versus, youtube.com/Golden Versus. We'll have all my archive videos, twitch.tv/Golden, where I have started to stream a little bit here or there. MonkCraftPodcast.com, Monk Stuff, when 9.1 is getting really close. And if you want to get in contact with the show at thegroupquest.com, and then on Twitter at GroupQuest. And then, of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/thegroupquest. And for myself and for Joe, we'll see you on the other side of our new global World of Warcraft realm.
You have been listening to Group Quest. The theme music was Intended Force from Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. For more information and other great shows, point your web browser to thegroupquest.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Group Quest.
I'm Brian Black from the Realm Maintenance Podcast, and for over 7 years, I've been tracking podcasts covering your favorite Blizzard games. Warcraft, Starcraft, Diablo, Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone. People are talking about these games every week, and Realm Maintenance has been around to help you find your favorites, perhaps add some new shows to your playlist, and learn more about the creators behind the microphone. In 2020, Realm Maintenance is proud to continue on as part of Warcraft Radio. You can listen to new episodes of Realm Maintenance on all major podcast platforms at the end of each month. Each show includes multiple interviews with podcasters and other content creators, along with a recap of all of the biggest episodes from your favorite Blizzard game podcasts, and occasionally information about new shows to check out that you might have not known about before. You can follow at Realm Podcast on Twitter for show news and updates, and for my weekly podcast roundup articles and a directory with links to over 100 shows covering all Blizzard Entertainment franchises, visit Warcraft Radio at warcraftradio.com.
This show is brought to you by StackUp.org. Do you want to help out veterans? To do so, go to StackUp.org. There you will find out ways you can help veterans out. We start out with supply crates. Crates are delivered to veterans who have served or are serving their countries now. Air assaults are our way to get veterans back into the populace by sending them to places like BlizzCon and E3. The stacks are smaller groups in more local locations, such as Pennsylvania, or Pittsburgh, or Columbus, Los Angeles. The big one is our Overwatch program, where we confront mental health issues like PTSD. Mental health issues are the biggest thing that confront veterans on a daily basis. If you want to help us out, go to stackup.org, click the donate button up in the upper right, or you could be a part of the Stack Up Stream team. You could join our Overwatch program and help out all the people with issues, mental health issues. And you can also raise money if you're a stream social platform. Just make sure that you go to stackup.org first and get with one of the managers. And remember, veterans are our mission. Gaming is our passion. That just go to stackup.org for more information.
This podcast is part of the Dawn Forge Network. Copyright 2020.